Let Freedom Ring with Pastor Ron Tanarello.
Thank you for tuning in to Let Freedom Ring. I'm Ron Tanarello, pastor, patriot, and fellow American. And we've been doing a series of messages on America's Christian history. And we will continue today, moving on to our Constitution. But before we fly into our federal constitution, let's remember that much of the state constitutions, many of them, were completed before the federal constitution. Some took their leading from the federal constitution, the latest states, but the earliest states contributed to that. And we can think about Pennsylvania. Their constitution was in 1776. And they were founded by William Penn. He was a Quaker and had once been imprisoned for blasphemy. Very interesting. I didn't know that. But in his 1682 Charter of Liberties, Penn cited the biblical origin of civil government. And he maintained, citing 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 10, that the law of God was made for unrighteous. He went on to cite Romans 13, verses 1 through 5. This settles the divine right of government beyond exception, and that for two ends. First, to terrify evildoers. Secondly, to cherish those who do well. It is interesting to note that civil government wasn't established by men. Actually, God established civil government. It was his idea to have civil government that would protect those who were good and it would punish those who were evil. In other words, it would maintain order. The sword was placed in the hand of the state, not to harm you, but to help you. Now, of course, if you had a unconscionable or evil people, then that sword can turn against you. And that's something we have to be aware of today. I think we have enough evidence right now, currently coming down from the news and things that are being released, to see that our government, particularly some of the agencies like the FBI and the CIA, along with certain individuals in the Justice Department, and now we know all the way up to President Obama, worked to stop the present president from getting into office or try to move him out of it. And quite frankly, individuals such as General Flynn, a patriot, a good man, was dishonored and was abused by his own government, a government that he fought to protect for a good portion of his life as he served in the Marine Corps. So we need to make sure that government is reined in. And one of the things about government in the past is that it was based on biblical law. So biblical law was the standard the states had and used to form civil legislation. A good example of this is the biblical foundation is in a Supreme Court ruling of the 19th century dealing with a major tenet of Mormon belief, polygamy. The Supreme Court narrowly defined the legal protections of the First Amendment to exclude polygamy on the grounds that the practice was out of accord with the basic tenets of Christianity. The organization of a community for the spread and practice of polygamy is, in a measure, a return to barbarism. That was their comment. It is contrary to the spirit of Christianity and the civilization which Christianity has produced in the Western world. In that same year, the court declared that bigamy and polygamy are crimes by the laws of all civilized and Christian countries. The court went on to assert, probably never before in the history of this country has it been seriously contended that the whole punitive power of the government for acts recognized by the general consent of the Christian world in modern times as proper matters for prohibitory legislation must be suspended in order that the tenets of a religious sect encouraging crime may be carried out without hindrance. So anti-sodomy laws were based on biblical law. as were laws regulating marriage. Justice Warren Burger writes, "Condemnation of those practices is firmly rooted in Judeo-Christian moral and ethical standards. All 50 states had an anti-sodomy laws in their books. Such laws were based on centuries of adherence to English common law, which was based on the Bible." So we can see that our laws had come down, and many of our laws came from directly from the Bible. Now, as time goes on, we begin to change, and not necessarily for the better. But think about it. If you don't have laws that sustain a society such as marriage, and you have bigamy, and I'll give you an example just in working with, along with members in the state of New Hampshire and Health and Human Services. One of the things that was interesting is some of the immigrants that were coming into our major city, one of our major cities here, were from African tribes, and African tribes that practiced polygamy. And it was kind of interesting because we discovered that these families would come over, and the families would be, believe it or not, they'd split them up somehow in the immigration system, and some would go to Philadelphia, some would come to New Hampshire, some would go elsewhere. And the apartments that were provided for these immigrants coming into the country, and in this case, they are generally fleeing from some sort of danger in their present country, and then get a visa and are brought here by one or two groups, usually a Presbyterian group or a Catholic, Roman Catholic group, but that's how they get here. And then you have a family of four is permitted in the apartment. Well, you go back in there, and they find out you had eight people in there. And all of these people who supposedly came over that were sisters turned out to be wives. So it's kind of a crazy situation that you have. But think about it. Now the state, in some of these situations, is now paying for what? For not only for a husband and a wife to get settled here, but a husband and four wives. It gets a little bit crazy, you know? And, of course, you have to have laws that protect against that. And it's enough to raise a family with two parents, a husband and a wife, and boy, it really gets messed up. So nothing wrong with biblical laws, because those are the laws of our land. And if you want to be in this land, that's the law that you follow. You don't have two wives, you don't have two husbands, you're not in two families. You know, you have one family, you take care of it. That's what you do. Well, I know sometimes it doesn't work out. You have divorce. You have all of these things that happen. And, you know, sin is sin. And sin means to miss the mark. And everybody misses the mark. And sometimes the ones who suffer the most are those who have no voice in it, which really are the children in a marriage. And we need to be aware of these things and make every effort that we can to have a better life, to live up to the standards that are good standards that make for peace and prosperity and for healthy families, because our nation is built on families. It's not just individuals, but individuals that build families. That's where we have our strength. That's where we have, as we said in earlier messages, that's our training ground for raising up solid, God-fearing individuals. Now, when we don't have that, we start getting a real mess. So now, let's move on to the Constitution, God and the Constitution. Well, as we said, William Penn had stated that the purpose of civil government is to terrify evildoers and, secondly, to cherish those who do well. So the first legislative act of Pennsylvania passed at Chester on the 7th day of September in 1682, it announced the following to be the goal of government: "Whereas the glory of Almighty God and the good of mankind is the reason and end of government, and therefore government in itself is venerable ordinance of God. Therefore, it is the purpose of civil government to establish such laws as shall best preserve true Christian and civil liberty, in opposition to all unchristian, licentious, and unjust practices, whereby God may have his due, and Caesar his due, and the people their due, from tyranny and oppression. That's not a bad thing to have now, is it? I mean, it makes for a standard where there's peace. It makes for a standard where we understand that government has its role. And look at where we are today. Look at the anarchy that we have in our streets in Portland. I guess it was last night or that they were tearing down now Teddy Roosevelt statue, Columbus. I mean, what is this about? What are these people doing? Oh, and Abraham Lincoln. So they're tearing down these statues. Now, this is the canceled generation. These people are having their night of rage. And I hate to tell you this, but I'm glad that the president has ordered the FBI to investigate, and they're going to get these people, and they're going to prosecute them. You know why? We need our history. Our history tells us who we are as a people, where we've come from. Sometimes it gives us some ideas that what we shouldn't have done. So we learn from history, at least we should. And we don't promote people who are bad in history, but the truth of the matter is, our country was formed by a bunch of rugged individuals that took responsibility for themselves, that looked out for others, and that built this great country that we're in now, and that people want to tear apart and tear down. It is essential for us today, as Americans, to realize that in this upcoming election, watch out for the smoke and the mirrors. We have people that are saying they're for this or for fracking, then against it. Actually against it and then for it. What are they for? They want to pack courts. And pack court is not what was happening under this administration. That was filling empty seats on the court, replacing people. That's not packing it. Packing a court is something completely different. Today they try to redefine court packing for you as putting in a judge any place. No, they want to put 15 judges or more on the Supreme Court to turn it into a legislative body. Just think of the problems that we have had with 9 members on the court. Think of the division that came into this country over the issue of abortion. Now, so you have Roe versus Wade. Supposing Roe versus Wade was overturned, what would happen? Would abortion end in America? No, it would not. It would go back to the states, and you would have a vote, and I would have a vote. And we would go to the polls and we would decide whether or not we wanted to have abortion in our state or not have it in our state. And that would be the choice of the people. See, that choice was taken away from us when Roe versus Wade. It was taken away from us when we choosing what kind of marriage we were going to have in America and in our states. In New Hampshire, New Hampshire probably would have voted for marriage between one man and one woman. But the legislature jumped in there. People who were, let's say put this way, decided that now they can vote for whatever they wanted to vote. And they were, first of all, going on, and they always get, the camel always gets its nose under the tent before it gets in. So they wanted to have first an equal visitation rights and things like that in a hospital in a homosexual relationship. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, as far as people having rights to visit with one another, I don't know what the relationship is. I'd like to have that relationship. Of course, we have it with the husband and wife, but I'd like to have that with my son or someone else in the family, a family member that would be appointed to come on in. Nothing wrong with doing that. But then it moves on to something else. Then we redefine marriage. So then the states began to vote on that. And we began to vote. And what were we going to vote for? Well, states began to choose. Some states were choosing marriage between one man and one woman. In fact, it seemed to be going that way when a court case came up and it went into the Supreme Court. And they decided that marriage between two men was fine. So they suddenly the Supreme Court became the supreme beings and made a decision that is against nature and against nature's God. Now, that's what happens with unelected officials. And when you put on the court liberals, when I say liberals or progressives, the point I make is this. We need justices that go by the law. And the law is made by our congressmen, or I should say by Congress, which is the Senate and the Congress, the House and the Senate. The reason that laws were made that way is because with our Constitution, that means that we elect these people. And if we elect them, we can unelect them. But when you start having laws made by a judiciary, you have a whole different situation. You have things shoved down your throat by progressives and other people that want to turn this country into something it was never intended to be, and most likely something it should never become. And that is their country, a country which is not democratic, a republic anymore, but a country where one party rules and controls everybody else and tells you what's right and wrong. Now, what's the problem with that? Well, because now you have a new God, and that God now is man. Now, I don't know about you, but I think there are some decisions in your life, like I have in my life, that if I were to go back and look at them again, I would have made them differently. I don't know what the whole outcome would have been in the end of it, but I think that I could have chosen more wisely, maybe in some issues in dealing with one of my children or in some things that we've said to our spouse or some things we've done at work or whatever it may be. You know, everybody has something that goes on in their life that they're not particularly wild about or that they look back at and say, what was I thinking when I made that decision? So at least I've had some of those, and I think that perhaps you have too. I don't want to get you thinking too deeply on this. I don't want you to feel bad about it because we all make some not so smart decisions for smart people, and we need to recognize that. So I'd rather stay with the God who knows right from wrong. It doesn't change, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And has a, guidelines that are far superior to anything that man can come up with. And we find in the long run that for good reasons. And they preserve society, they preserve our families, they preserve our economy, and they preserve us, protect us. I'm all for that. So back to our Constitution, God and the Constitution. A fellow by the name of George Brancoff in his History of the United States cites a portion of Penn's farewell address to Pennsylvania Colony. Penn said, "You are come to a quiet land, and liberty and authority are in your hands. Rule for him," capital M meaning God, "under whom the princes of this world will one day esteem in their honor to govern in their places." Penn acknowledged the biblical principles of delegated human authority and of divine sovereignty. He expected the colonists to follow his pattern. The future of the colony, he believed, depended upon it. And that's a fact. Some of the things that we set down, you note that when you have somebody that is sovereign over you, and we all have a sovereign, I hope you know that. You know, we talk about being a free people, and we are a free people. We're Americans. We're a unique people, to be frank with you. We can just about accomplish anything when we put our heart to it, our mind to it. We know when times get tough, we can get up and get going, and we need encouragement sometimes, but we tend to pull out of stuff. We come against odds that are way beyond what we could ever hope to overcome, like Nazi Germany, or like being attacked at Pearl Harbor and losing a good portion of our fleet, and coming back from devastating blows like that to regain freedom and maintain freedom and to protect it. You know, we are an exceptional people. I want you to know that. And we are a people. We're a race. We're called Americans for a reason. We're not just any people. We are Americans. And we may not all be perfect. In fact, I know that we're not. I know that we can do better. And we always ought to strive to make things better, more perfect if you can, if I put it that way. That's the effort that we have. And by the way, that's the Christian way. Wherever we are in God, God wants us to move on and become more like Him. He shares, in fact, with us His divine attributes. It's just the most amazing thing. Perhaps one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know for our own church, one of our, I would say, our stated goal is that we present every man complete in Christ, and we labor, we'll never cease to labor to see Christ formed in you. That's the two things we do, because once that happens, our attitude changes. The way we look at this whole world around us, the way we look at people out there, when we start seeing them the way Jesus sees them, as people that are lost, people that need help, people that have come to eternal life and yet, like Lazarus coming out of his tomb, are bound and need to be set free. And that's the job of the church. It's an important job. You know, our church is not huge anymore. We had a fairly good sized church for New Hampshire for several years, but it turned out that in a way it was just a crowd of people. Now it's not that way anymore. It's a bunch of people. We don't all think the same way exactly. We have different gifts. We have different views on things, but we all have one thing in common. We're striving together to be what God has called us to be individually. And as we do that, we become what God wants us to be corporately as a spiritual community. It's just like a family. Think about it. That's what your family ought to do. We remember we talked about that just a couple of days ago, talking about the role of a dad in the family. First of all, the role of a mom. The Bible says this, that a woman builds the house. It never says that a man builds the house. So what then is the man's role in the house? And the man's role is to guide, guard, and to govern. And as we said, to guide means to set an example. And you can tell kids to do this. Don't do what I do. Do what I say. That doesn't work. Your home is a school. They might not be taking notes, but they're watching how you deal with your wife, how you deal with issues over finances, over all of these different things. And they take note. Some things they'll like and they'll repeat in their own lives. In other cases, they'll reject some of the things because they don't like the way it worked out. But your job as a husband and as a wife is to seek God. And your job is to make things work out, to be an example, to change, let God change your character, walk with Him by faith. The second thing is to guard. Somebody's got to protect that. There are all kinds of enemies coming against your family, friend. Let me tell you something. They're coming against our country. They're coming against your family. They are in the curriculum that your kids are being fed in your schools. Don't think you shouldn't be looking at that. You should. You should see what they're doing. Maybe you ought to be putting your kids into private school if you can afford it. If not, you ought to be looking for school choice. And get out from under the unions that are bogging down and crippling education in America. Yep, they're taking good care of the teachers, but they're using that money to take this down the socialist path. They're using that money to undermine the Constitution and the people of the United States of America. They're power players, all of them are. They're all in it for something. This is what you have to watch out. You have to guard your house. What you bring into the house, is it wholesome? Is it what you want your kids to see? Is it what you want your children to do? You watch, if you have a TV, you've got to monitor that. If you don't, then you have to spend time with them anyway. No, you should. That's how you get to know your kids and they get to know you. Show them that you love them. I never forget when my son was 4 years old, oldest son, I always played I had a set of girls, my four girls were there, and of course, they were older, we played tennis, we did this, and we played board games and stuff like that. And I had Sorry was the game that came over, and I taught him the game Sorry, which was easy because he didn't have to count or know numbers or whatever. We could just do that together. And he said to my oldest daughter, now I know that Dad loves me. He played a game with me. I mean, a simple little thing like that. It makes a big difference. Guide, guard, govern. Govern, what's govern? Looking in on how things are going. That's what a government should do. It should govern. That's what the church does too, and a pastor should do. They look in. They oversee. They don't tell you what to do, but they look in on your well-being and see how you're doing. So, as we find out that the constitutions of the states that were coming along all had a reference to God, and that was a good thing. But you know what? With all of these things, oaths that we took, so help me God, we swore on the Bible. I don't know if they make you swear on the Bible. I don't take an oath because the Bible says take no oath, but I'll put my hand on the Bible and I will say I so affirm. And although, yes, my yes is going to be yes and my no is going to be no. And I've never had a judge, and I've had to appear in court as a witness on a number of occasions. I've never had a judge not accept that. As I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to say the truth as I know it to be. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of interesting. Truth has a way of being difficult to discern, because sometimes truth is in the eyes of the beholder. So while the Constitution does not, you know, our Constitution did not take into consideration, the federal Constitution, the same things that the state constitutions did. Perhaps they left it to the states to take care of the religious issues, and perhaps they left it out for a reason. We don't know. I know that Witherspoon, who was then the chaplain, or I should say the president of Princeton, a Ivy League school that just even in the last 50 years has really gone downhill from a standpoint of morality and anything that had to do with righteousness. They got one professor there who is pro-choice, but not just pro-choice. He thinks you ought to be able to, in fact, he wrote, be able to have your child for 3 years before you decide whether or not you want to keep him or destroy him. I mean, that goes crazy. So, of course, other progressives came, you know, that's a little bit too much, you know, so let's make it 6 months. I mean, this is like, what are we talking about here? See, this is what happens when you move from God and now you become nothing more than an animal. Man is not an animal. He may be flesh and blood, but he's not simply the highest individual on the food chain. He is unique. God made him in his image, and in his likeness he made him. That's what it means in the Declaration of Independence, when it says, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. I mean, in other words, rights that come directly from God, not from man. They don't come from Biden. They don't come from Kennedy. They don't come from anybody. They don't come from anybody. No man. They come directly from God. God gives the rights. And then he says, they're created equal, endowed with their creator certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And let me just say this. Life, liberty, life. We don't have life, there's no liberty, there's no pursuit of happiness. It's that simple. Only people who are alive in this country have their God-given rights. Now, they have those God-given rights all over, but in many places, government prevents them from exercising them. So, and when we're talking about that, by the way, and life, men are created equal, we're not talking about in wisdom and stature, in intellect. We're talking about created in the image of God, the ability to think, the ability to create, the ability to reason. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us all gods because we have godlike qualities that God has given each one of us. Let's use them for good. And we're out of time today. May God bless you, and we'll come back on this as we move into the federal Constitution and see what happened there as our founders had the opportunity to put God in it, but kind of just left him out somehow. God bless you all. See you tomorrow.